And the setup today is there's going to be two separate board meetings. There's going to be this board will do a little bit of business, and then we will adjourn and say goodbye to some of our wonderful, stalwart board members who went above and beyond the call of duty. And for those people, we're going to have some cake. And we have two cakes, and we also have some non-gluten chocolate chip cookies if you don't want gluten. And I think also the chocolate cake doesn't have flour. It just has chocolate. And that cake recognizes Craig and Margie. Margie is termed out for 6 years and was a former chair and then became our PMB rep and then for a year served without any money 24/7 as interim executive director of Pacifica. And so first let's have a big round of applause, including some hoots from the people on Zoom for Margie. So let's give a Margie. We're going to also thank.
I want to say, I don't regret
You've
it.
You've got to talk on the microphone.
Oh, I see.
As you know, as I've told you repeatedly.
I just want to say that I don't regret anything I've done, but I'm not going to do it again.
And then now Craig is leaving because he just needs to leave. He doesn't have to leave. He's just like, oy vey, enough. But he was our secretary for some years, which is a difficult, onerous job. And he is also included in the chocolate cake, which may not have any flour. And so let's give a big round of applause for Craig. Next, we're going to formally say goodbye to Frank, who did our sound and for the last year. Before that, it was David Gantz, but Frank has been fabulous. And not only has Frank done the sound, Frank went twice for KPFA to Standing Rock. And we are thrilled and appreciate Frank. And we thank Frank for that.
I only went once.
Oh, he only went once. Okay, I thought he said right. And Frank and Barbara's cake is tiramisu. And so I'm going to say terrific, Barbara. And when Barbara comes in, we're going to hit quorum. So we're going to, as Barbara scoots in the door, we'll give Barbara a rousing hello and thank you. And we'll also, I'll tell her that there's cake for her, too, in her honor. So I'm just stalling for time. Next, I'm going to sing.
Oh, no, please don't. could Frank tell us something about Standing Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Good.
So, yeah, I went to Standing Rock once. I had two separate experiences. I went as a group with KPFA, with Dennis Bernstein, Miguel Gavilan Molina, Tony Gonzalez of AIM, who does Across Indian Land on La Onda Bajita. And then he brought his son, and Pedro also went. He does the late night show, but also board ops for La Onda. So we went as a group, and we went Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And we went to the camp, Oseti Sokowe camp, and recorded stories. And I think Dennis did a whole week of flashpoints from the recordings that we did. I was basically the recording engineer, so I recorded Dennis's and Miguel's interviews. So if you go back to Dennis's show, you could hear all his interviews on kpfa.org. I'm sure his stay on there. And I think he arrived back. We left. We had to look. I don't remember the exact date. And I do know that all the interviews I recorded, which is about five separate interviews and some songs, you could hear on kpfaapprentice.org. I interviewed Buffalo Child, who carries one of the sacred chinupas. He talked about the chinupa, which is the pipe, and a little bit about the ceremony. I talked to Shailene Woodley, the actress from the Divergent films. an Alaskan elder man who went through boarding school and also fought alcoholism for 40 years. And he talked about his battle through boarding school and alcoholism and, you know, how many family he actually lost to alcoholism and people that are still fighting in his family due to boarding school stuff. And then now his new journey, since he defeated alcoholism after 40 years, he started on a new path to regain his culture and stuff. His mom is a famous activist. I can't remember her name right now, but an Alaskan activist that fought for subsistence living, which would allow them to keep hunting and fishing on their, you know, homelands, which was under threat. And who else did I talk to? I talked to about five people and recorded about five songs, and they're all available on kpfaapprentice.org. And flashpoints.net is where you'll find all Dennis's. Ours is the top one right now. Dennis's, you'll have to go back about 2 or 3 weeks to find the Dennis ones. But he also did one recently, yesterday, right? Might have been a replay. Anyway, so it was a pretty awesome experience. There was thousands of people there. The first thing that struck me was how huge it was. It's far bigger than I ever thought. It's big as, like, these whole blocks right around here. Like, Phil Ohlone Park and all the way down to the end and all the way back up here and KPFA and the gas stations. It's huge.
This is the camp?
Yeah, that's just one of them. You know, one of the Osheti Sekowin camp. Tents, teepees. You know, as I understand now, everybody knows it's getting a really harsh winter there. So I think like 1,000 or so dedicated people that could survive in basically Arctic temperatures, you know. And if people are still wanting to go, see, my dad and my sister are here. Hey, that's my dad, Frank, and my sister, Steph.
Welcome, and we thank you for Frank. And we have a cake in his honor because he's so important to us. We would love if you would sit down because we need Frank to be here for a few minutes more. Is that okay? You can't steal him just yet, and then you can have a piece of cake in his name if you would like. Okay.
So anyways, it was a great experience, and I actually did a report back to the I think they call themselves the East Bay Green or Walnut Creek Green Party. They had a Mountain Mike's pizza party, and then we spoke there with another man about our experiences. So if you're ready to live Arctic temperatures, you know, it could be, you could still go down there. But otherwise, if you're not self-sustaining in the Arctic, they don't really, can really take care of you right now. But yeah, if you can't do it on your own, they can't just like, you can't just come there and expect to be taken care of. Oh, yeah. Well, I know that. So it sounds like One Warm Coat might be collecting coats to send there. And then I know if you go to kpfaapprentice.org, we had all the links there last night's show. So, but there's like, you could Google like the Osheti Sekowin camp, which is Osheti Sekowin. Also standing Sacred Stone Camp. And let's see. They have, you know, ways to donate on there. You could donate on the Water Protector Legal Collective, which is the lawyers group that is fighting for all the water protectors. So over 500 people have been arrested, and there's a legal collective that lives in the camp. They have like a military-style tent with a stove, and they kind of run a legal collective out of that tent. And they have 500 cases right now in Morton County. So they're doing all this as volunteers. And they need stuff basically like legal pads, pens, coffee, food, stuff like, you know, firewood. Everybody there needs firewood. So, and when I was there, that was one thing that was amazing was semi-trucks with the huge long trailer would just pull up with like dead trees and logs on it, huge whole trees. And then they'd dump them off with a big crane or push them off by hand. And then people would cut them all day until it got dark. It's basically like a work area from sunrise to sundown. Where you could, if you listen to the interview with Buffalo Child that's on kpfaapprentice.org, he talks about not even needing money really to live there. But as the people were there, you just had to volunteer yourself and your service during the day, you know, help put in winterize stuff, cutting wood. Cutting wood was like nonstop chainsaws and axes. So, but I can't remember all the websites, but we have like 15 links and videos and interviews on kpfaapprentice.org. So if you go there, you could donate to the camps. You could learn about them. We also have media outlets there that have up-to-date information. So one important one is Indigenous Rising Media, and they have they update daily. And also, I can't remember them all. There's so many. But I'll say it one more time. I'll encourage you all to go to kpfaapprentice.org, and all the links are there. All my interviews, I posted them just last night, so they're all at the top of the page right now. And the whole show we did last night, we also talked about the Berkeley West Berkeley Shell Mounds. How many of you guys know about that? So the West Berkeley Shell Mounds is about to have some more development done and being proposed. And they have till, I think it's January 9th, something like that, where citizens can comment on the environmental impact study, which could help stop the development happening. So you can go to Berkeley Shell Mounds on Facebook and find out some of their events. But we also have all the links on the kpfaapprentice.org. Not too much longer, Dad stuff. I'm going to call Sarah.
This meeting is now called to order. Can we start recording? Are we recording? Okay. This is the December 2016 KPFA LSB. Could you call the roll, Mr. Secretary?
Okay. Oops. Am I on? Yes, there we go. Okay, so I'm going to go down the list. Yeah, yeah, I can. Well, I'll note.
They just can't vote.
Can you tell me who we have here?
David, Kate, Scott, Mary.
Okay, David, Kate.
Say this into here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm muttering right now. Okay. I'm muttering for the record. And Yuri. Okay.
No muttering.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to go down the list. Adams is not here. She requested to be excused. Alderson, I am here. Oops. Let me note this correctly. Campisi.
I'm here.
Campisi is here. Fest?
Please.
Fest is here. Fuentes. Fuentes is not here. Futren.
Here.
Futren is here. I'll note that Yuri Gottesman is online. Kate Goen is online. Hernandez. Hernandez is here. Jacobs?
Here.
Jacobs is here. Coburn. Coburn is not here. Lynch. Lynch is, David Lynch is online connecting. Tim Lynch. Tim Lynch is here. Moore. Moore is not here. Morgan. Morgan is not here. Olson, again, is connecting online. Sawyer. Sawyer is here. Scruggs. Scruggs is not here. He requested to be excused. Sterling.
Here.
Sterling is here. Teo Nichols. Teo Nichols is not here. I understand he's en route. Travis.
Here.
Travis is here. Whipperman.
Here.
Whipperman is here. White. Burton White is not here. Wilkinson.
I'm here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers.
Here.
Withers is here. I'll note Quincy McCoy said he would not be here. So we have 13. That is a quorum, and that's not counting the four people who are online.
And we are not counting them because we have a remote policy that we put in place, this LSB put in place earlier this year, which we will discuss right after we approve the agenda, but and then we will, if this body approves the remote policy again, they will become voting members again, except on officers, because that has to be by secret ballot, unless it's by acclamation. But, okay, so next we have, do I have a motion to approve the agenda? Hello?
Yes.
A motion to approve the agenda.
Yes. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So move.
Okay. And seconded?
Second.
And is there any motion to change the agenda?
I think we should do the remote participation motion before we approve the agenda, so that those who are on the call can, if we approve extending the remote participation.
Okay.
So I move to switch 3 and 4.
And is that all you moved to switch?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, second. And so let's vote on the agenda, the amendment to the agenda.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. I was going to ask for a point of personal privilege after we approve the agenda, but I can do it as an agenda change, which is I would like to be able to have the PMB report, which is now scheduled for the new LSB. I have to leave it.
No, it's not. It's scheduled number 8 on this point.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. So I would like to move it up to right after approving the agenda. So I want to do two things. Move remote participation to 3, and then have approve agenda 4, and then have the PMB report number 5. Okay.
Okay, all right. I mean, what you just moved was a changed agenda, not the, you can't move agenda and then do an agenda, you know.
Okay.
But in any case, we're going to let that roll. Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
Of the points of change, that is that the remote participation become the next thing on the agenda, and then the PNB report comes right after that. All in favor of those changes, please raise your hand. It's unanimous. Okay. So then let's have a vote on the agenda as amended. All in favor of the agenda as amended. Unanimous. Fabulous. Okay, so the next thing we have on the agenda is the remote participation. And I believe Craig has a motion.
So did everybody get a copy of the policy that the board passed mm-hmm. earlier this year?
Yeah.
And let's see here. So this is the remote access policy. I just want to move that we adopt this policy for this meeting. And I'll move that we adopt it for the LSB. That's fine. I won't be here, so I'll take the opportunity. So that we'd adopt it as a permanent policy for the LSB. With one provision on the second page, it's under a section titled duration. When we implemented this earlier this year, we were doing it as on a trial basis, as sort of an experiment to see whether it would work, and we put a sunset date of December 1st. So technically this policy is not in effect as of today. So I want to move that we adopt this policy and delete that duration section.
There's a second. Okay. On discussion.
I just want to say that I think the remote policy has been very effective and has worked well for us. And I, as an outgoing board member, I hope that the new board will keep it in place. And anyway, I really think it's a great idea. And sort of last hurrah, we offer you a policy which going forward, which makes it possible for people who are out of town or unable to physically attend meetings, participate in our meetings. And if you read the policy carefully, you'll see that there are lots of limits on how this can be used. And so I think it's a carefully considered and a well-worded policy. So I urge everyone to vote yes.
Anthony.
Just a question. What would it now have a sunset date, or would it be meant to continue multiple years, or what?
It would not have a sunset date, although any subsequent LSB could take it up and change it or modify it. And it might be a good idea if the next LSB, maybe in January, rather than today, because we're delayed and so on, but could have a considered discussion of it and see if they want to just go forward like this or amend it to any degree. But it would, the way it is put here is that it would just be the policy of the LSB. I think somebody else had, oh, Mark had his hand up, and then Margie and Ramses. I want to note that Ramses has just arrived.
The policy as it's written is very good, but there is one change I would recommend, having been on the receiving side of it. That's on the second page, under required physical presence at certain meetings. I would suggest, strongly urge, that the maximum be capable of being waived, provided the member gives 24 hours notice and the LSB approves the waiver.
Okay, we can discuss that now. We could give that to the next board to have a discussion. It's your choice. What do people want to do? Tim, use the mic.
I put that forward as an amendment.
So in the interest of moving things along, I'd like to suggest that we table the amendment and consider the thing as written, with a urging of the next LSB to consider the policy and make any changes if needed in January.
Point of procedure, we didn't select a timekeeper, and I'm willing to do that while I'm here, and I think speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah.
That's right? Okay, yeah. Thank you. I am now. And is the did the sheet for public comment circulate?
Yes. Okay. Yes,
thank
it
you.
Did.
Okay.
All right. So,
I do.
Okay. So, what I have now is an amendment and an amendment to the amendment.
No, it's it.
So I have the Tim's suggestion. Was that seconded?
Second.
It was seconded. So all in favor of considering that in January, please.
Point of order, Madam
Chair. Yeah.
Since the amendment wasn't seconded, it falls to the floor.
Which amendment?
Yes.
Yours?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Never mind.
Okay, so never mind. So let's have a vote on the policy as stated. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Opposed? It's unanimous. Therefore, now those of you who are on Zoom will be able to vote on things that we do in the future on this meeting and next meeting. Okay. So, next we have the minutes, the approval of the minutes.
I thought that we had moved the PMB report today.
Oh, we did.
Okay. I'm very sorry.
You're welcome. Okay. So, the PMB has...
Margie is our only PMB rep.
I'm the only one here today. Just so that people who are new here understand. Someone should time me, okay? So people who are new here. Go ahead, time. Oh, that's right. Reports don't get timed. Oh, well. I promise not to talk too long. We have four reps on the PMB. Myself, Jose Luis Fuentes, and Janet Coburn are the listener reps. And Louis Sawyer replaced Brian Edwards Teeger as the staff rep. Each station is entitled to three listener reps and one staff rep on the PMB. At recent meetings, the PMB has had what I would describe as a very difficult time coming to grips with the many financial crises that face Pacifica. And instead, what I perceive and what I have said publicly at PMB meetings is that we have tended to focus on issues that are not nearly as significant as the financial crisis. And in doing so, I think we've made some very bad decisions. So, and I'm just going to talk about two recent decisions. At a meeting that took place this past Tuesday, at which I was not present because I was unable to attend and had requested an excused absence, the PMB voted to, in effect, invalidate the recent elections by demanding a recount and making everything, quote-unquote, provisional until that matter was resolved. These are elections which we spent $150,000 on and which were certified by the company who we hired to conduct the elections. At the next meeting, this passed... at a previous meeting, I think, I'm not exactly sure when, we've been meeting frequently and I've lost track of the dates, a motion was introduced to disallow KPFA's remote access policy, which we just voted on. And it was clear to me that most of the people who were voting on this had never read the policy, didn't know what was in it, believed that somehow our remote access policy would endanger Pacifica's status with the CPB, which is completely ridiculous. And thank you. And as a result of this, and because of Janet Coburn's role in both of these votes, I have a motion which I would like to make. So here's my motion. Whereas the PMB voted to disallow KPFA's remote access policy, and whereas the PMB vote to, in effect, invalidate the 2016 Pacifica elections, and whereas these actions were in violation of the Pacifica bylaws and not supported by California law, therefore I move that the KPFA LSB repudiate both actions and further agree to censure KPFA PMB Director Janet Coburn, who brought both motions to the PMB in direct conflict with the best interests of KPFA. And if I get a second, I'll motivate.
Okay.
Thank you. While we struggle here to raise money and while we struggle to figure out ways in which to save this foundation, we spend time on the PMB discussing things that we shouldn't even be talking about. The bylaws provide that each LSB can set its own rules of conduct. I would point out that the committee, the PMB itself, meets by phone, and that committees of the PMB meet by phone. And so it doesn't make any sense to me that this LSB would not be allowed to do that. I think it was, I won't tell you what I think. Never mind. Leave that part out.
In the best interest of the
right.
Pacifica Foundation.
It was not in the best interest of Pacifica. And the decision to disallow the elections is completely beyond the purview of the PMB. California Corporation Code requires that elected bodies like the PMB have elections conducted in a way in which they are not involved. So historically, we have had to hire a national election supervisor who is completely in charge of elections and gets to hire the local election supervisors, runs the election, makes decisions as it should be, because members of the PMB often have a vested interest. They are, in many cases, candidates and cannot be allowed to participate in decisions around the process. So I think both of these motions were harmful, detrimental, set us up for lawsuits, which we do not need. Anyway, that's all. And,
okay.
And so I hope people will vote for my motion. And I think Janet Coburn's role in it was, I'm sorry she's not here. I expected to see here today. I would not normally do this, behind someone's back, so to speak. I would prefer to speak directly to the person. But anyway.
Okay. All right. On discussion, I see Mark Hernandez and Bill Campisi and Anthony Feist is the lineup. Go ahead. And Ron.
I would like to ask Marjorie if she deliberately left off of the Pacifica Foundation at the end.
What?
What do you mean?
The motion was made and ended with and KPFA.
And the Pacifica Foundation.
That would be my recommendation.
Okay, I'm happy to add that. Is that okay with the person who seconded?
Yes.
So it is formally added through the microphone, and there you go. Bill.
Yeah, Janet Coburn was the mover on both of these acts by the PNB, and I just object to PNB representatives not coming to us. There are our PNB representatives represent us on the national board, and I've never felt that Janet Coburn ever came to us and talked about what she thought about what should be done or not should be done, polled us in any way, got our emails and talked to us about what she thought would be representative of what we wanted. She just went off on her own. Like we, it didn't matter what any of us thought. She was sort of an island unto herself. And I don't think that's the role of a PNB representative. I think a PNB representative from our board needs to talk to us before they make such a huge decision about invalidating a $150,000 election. I mean, it's crazy. It just creates more chaos at Pacifica, and it's chaos we don't need.
Margie, are you timing?
I am.
Okay, Anthony. Give Anthony. Rich, could you pass Anthony?
I'm just curious, in the LSB context, does censure have any force or effect, or is it just a statement of disapproval?
It's just a statement of disapproval, but it has a political implication internally in the Pacifica and the PNB board, because actually we save KPFA, not just the KPFA, LSB, and Save KPFA is being accused across Pacifica as the driver of these moves. So it's a political statement of our board rather than something that has any import. Yeah. Ramses. Give him the mic.
So I'm trying to pick up a lot of content that's being shared. I also wish that, you know, Janet had been here to maybe respond. I'm all in favor of the remote access policy. I'm a little confused if this piece is being bundled in with the what appears to be like a political statement, you know, and the censorship part. Part of me wishes it was just separate. Okay, is it separate, the motions then, or
the motion was a motion about Janet's behavior, really, and included those both those things. We've already done something on the policy on remote, so we've already taken an action of the board on that policy. So it was just a substantive critique of Janet, you know, rather than a you know. Anyway.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. Then I'm still kind of undecided how to vote, but. You know, I'm obviously in favor of the policy, but the other stuff is some of it's pretty new to me, and would love for that person to just be here to respond.
Craig, Mark, and then give point of information.
The question and the point is, in the invalidation of the elections, were any elections held that were not challenged but are now revoked because of this action by the board?
I don't think anything is removed by the action of the board. Board's action is meaningless, but our election was not part of the challenge.
That's what I was trying to
The meaningless out. Challenge.
Well, so, yeah. So the entire election is being thrown out by this motion.
Election.
No, bear with me on this. Her motion was to throw out the entire all five stations' elections, even though there were stations with no challenges.
That's right.
And nothing was wrong with them.
Yes.
Right. So $150,000 is thrown away to be redone as a result of this.
It might be. I mean, maybe everybody will ignore it like we are. did you talk yet? No. So it's Craig.
Well, I just want to say support the substance of the motion in all its particulars, and I think Janet has been acting in a way that's detrimental to the national organization and to KPFA. I guess what I'm wondering is whether, I mean, I have a due process concern here as, you know, somebody who has represented people in workplaces for a long time as a union steward, you know, due process was very important. I was expecting that she would be here and at least be able to defend her action. And I think we owe people that option, that opportunity to defend their actions. But because she's not, that really causes me to think that I can't support this motion, because I think she deserves a right to defend herself, even though I think her actions are reprehensible and detrimental to the organization. And I'm wondering if there's a way we can phrase this that it's, you know, maybe not censure, but maybe a letter from the officers saying this is terrible, or, you know, shape up. It does not represent us, you know, something where it at least expresses the opinion of the board, but doesn't trigger that, I think, obligation we have to give people a due process chance here.
Tim and then Anthony, and I'm going to be on the list, and so Rams is going to have to take over at some point.
Did Janet notify the secretary of her intent to be absent today? So she's, as far as we...
No, she didn't.
I would just note that responding to Ramses, that anyone could move to sever these two items and make two motions of it. The LSB repudiating the two PNV votes and the censure of Janet could be two separate motions.
Or they could be three, you know. But, I mean, what do people – if people – you know, have a split vote on that, then it's meaningful. If everybody's going to vote on all of them similarly, it doesn't really matter. But
well, there seems to be concern about the word
censure.
Okay,
fine. If we want to do this, I just hate procedural stuff that takes up hours. You want to move that?
Yeah, I'll
move. What are you moving?
I'll move to divide the motion.
Okay, how many people are in favor of dividing the motion?
No.
How is he dividing it?
Oh, yeah. How are you dividing it?
Well, motion A would say the LSB repudiates the two actions of the PNB. Part B, motion B would say the LSB repudiates or censures Janet for her vote on the two motions.
I don't think it's repudiates, because it does not recognize as having any legal standing.
My motion says repudiate.
Oh. Okay.
I'm going to second Anthony's.
Okay.
Motion.
Okay, it's been seconded. All those in favor of splitting the vote? What?
You don't have to vote on it. If somebody asks to divide.
Oh, okay, so it's split. Okay. Now I would like to speak on the on Craig's point.
Carol.
Okay, Carol, you're next.
Thanks. This is not a disciplinary procedure where somebody is, going to lose their job or lose money or lose anything or get any repercussions. And she chose not to show, and she could choose not to show ever, and then we wouldn't be taking positions on things that we have to do about what she did as our representative. And I think that this is something that she doesn't need due process, because it's no harm. That's my position.
All right, Carol, you may resume being chair. Who's next?
Okay, who's next? Any other conversations? So we're voting. So let's vote first on...
Okay, so I'll just read this again. Okay, so whereas the PNB voted to disallow KPFA's remote access policy, and whereas the PNB voted in effect to invalidate the 2016 Pacifica elections, and whereas these actions were in violation of the Pacifica bylaws and not supported by California law, okay, therefore, this is part A, I move that the KPFA LSB repudiate both actions, okay, and then that's part A. Let me just read part B so we... Okay, let's just do part A then.
So, all in favor of part A, please raise your hand. And those of you on the online can also speak. David? Lynch? Hello? Kate?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm
Kate?
Here.
Yes. Scott?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Uri?
Yes.
Okay, it's anybody against?
No.
Anybody abstaining? Unanimous. Okay, Part B.
Okay, so Part B is that the board...
The LSB.
The LSB agree to censure KPFA / PNB Director Janet Coburn, who brought both motions to the PNB in direct conflict with the best interests of KPFA and the Pacifica Foundation.
Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand here. Okay. I see you, Ramses. On the
phone,
she's Zoom, David, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Kate?
Yes.
Scott?
Abstain.
Uri?
No.
No. Ramses? Abstain. So the vote total is?
Oh, well, did we call for no votes?
No votes. Yeah, it was.
That's abstain, isn't it?
No.
I'm voting no. So two no votes. Yeah, by hand. Okay. Oops, one no vote. Sorry. One no vote by hand. Yuri voted no. Yes. So I'm just trying to add everything up here. We have 13 yes, two no, and three abstentions.
Okay, it passes. All right. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about the LSB?
I just wanted to say... Is this on?
Yeah,
okay. So here's the bizarre thing about Pacifica. As of today, I will no longer be a member of this body, and I'll be leaving at 1 o'clock, so you'll know that, you know, I'm gone. But I will continue to be a PNB rep until the new PNB reps are seated on January 26th. Sometime before January 26th, you all will need to elect your new PNB reps, and then I will be replaced at a meeting that's sort of similar to this, although it'll be on the phone, where the old board meets and elects a chair pro tem, and then we move on to the new board. So I just want you to know that. So if you have a meeting in January prior to the 26th, I will be happy to come and make a PNB report. And if any of you have any concerns or questions about what's going on with the PNB, please feel free to contact me. I'm easily contactable.
Talking about the $95,000.
Okay, the $95,000. So this is a matter. There was a lawsuit. There was a firm in New York, Silverman and Silverman, who represented basically BAI, although by extension Pacifica, in a lawsuit, the character of which I'm not completely clear about, sometime between 2007 and 2010. They were never paid for their services. In 2013, an attorney in New York, Patrick Hackett, who was representing Pacifica, worked out a payment agreement between Silverman and Silverman and the Pacifica National Office. And Summer Reese, who was the interim executive director at the time, signed a payment agreement, but then subsequently no payments were ever made. And the details going forward are just a mystery to me. But eventually they got a court order, which was that Pacifica had to pay, or they had the right to seize Pacifica's assets. And it's my understanding that whatever efforts were made to reach some kind of an agreement failed. And so this past Monday, they took $95,000 out of the bank account of KPFK, which had enough money, I guess was probably the only account in the system that had enough money in it to pay up the $95,000. So that's my understanding of what's happened. So, and this is a really serious situation because KPFK is facing large payments on an arbitration that they lost concerning a violation of employee rights under California law because people's hours were cut back and other things happened. Anyway, it goes on forever. But anyway, so it's important that people know that. This is, you know, again, a very serious issue that Pacifica needs to deal with. Clearly, we need to – money needs to be found to help KPFK out because they took the hit for the entire network, and the network needs to function better.
Tim.
Two things. Does this bring the network or KPFK in particular or anyone in the network closer to missing a required payroll payment?
Yes.
So we are one step very much closer to network failure.
Yes.
Because of this. And two, do we know how many other outstanding bills there are like this that could bring us to the edge, and if anything else is in court like this at this time?
The answer, Margie, is shrugging for the record.
We don't know. That is, apparently correspondence concerning the $95,000 was sent to addresses that no longer exist, people who are no longer connected with the case. So it came as a surprise, although we knew the bill was out there, but the actions weren't communicated very well, partly because the attorney Patrick Hackett, who was representing Pacifica, quit the case and got a judge to say it was okay for him to quit. And so anyway.
Okay. We do know from prior reports that the bills that Pacifica owes in total run between $4 and $6 million outstanding debts. Okay. Does that answer you? Okay. So I think that concludes the – oh, Anthony, sorry. My apologies.
Two more questions. Do you know what the latest is on how much is still owed to Lynn Serpy? I mean, it seems like Pacifica's
no.
The national election supervisor.
I don't know. And it's a concerning matter because she needs to be paid, yes.
Yeah, it seems.
She's the national – Lynn Serpy is the national election supervisor who has not been paid since August for her services.
I have a question. Yeah. So, Margie, what's
Anthony still has the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it, the longer this goes on, it seems like our progressive radio network is actually conducting wage theft, and that's a disgrace. Oh, and the other point is I wondered if our staff PNB rep had anything to add on any of these matters.
Bill and then Tim.
Okay, so Margie, what's the story on board of directors insurance so that if people go on the board next year and Pacifica gets sued or somebody tries to collect a debt, what's going on with that?
At this moment, there is no officers and directors insurance for members of the Pacifica National Board. Let me just say that that's all. That's it. There is no
Tim.
So if I'm hearing things correctly, and I often don't, the Pacifica National Board has required a recount of the election but has not paid the National Election Supervisor even for the election that's already been done, much less for additional services. Is that correct? Thank you.
That was a yes from Margie, indicated by a point of a finger. Okay. Does that conclude this point of the agenda?
Please.
Okay. So next we have the approval of the minutes. Craig.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, proving that I don't deserve any cake. In the flurry of photocopying that I was doing to prepare for this meeting, I did send the minutes around by email to everybody, but when I printed it out and photocopied it, as I discovered just within the last 45 minutes, we're missing page 2 of the minutes. These are the minutes from the November meeting, and I don't know what to say. You could provisionally approve them and correct them later if you want. They are available in email, or you can kick this down the road to the January meeting when I can make sure that everybody gets copies again. They are on email, but anyway, bottom line is the minutes that I passed out earlier today are defective, and I apologize for that.
Nobody's perfect.
Okay. Barbara has something to say.
I've long time always reminded us that we can approve minutes and we can later bring up anything that seems to need correction, even if the minutes have been approved. And I always advocate that. And I advocate today that we approve the minutes.
Is that a motion?
Yes, I move that we approve these minutes with or without the second page. And follow the procedure that if there is anything that needs correcting, it can be done at a later meeting.
Second.
Noting that they were also sent out online. There's a second. Any discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes as sent out? Raise your hand. Those of you online, David?
Yeah. Abstain.
Kate?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Yuri?
Yes.
Okay. So the minutes were approved, and Craig has the – oh, noes? Any noes? Oh, okay.
Abstains.
One abstain. Okay, no, two, no. Three abstains. Three abstains. Okay, so you have the count on that?
Three abstentions and zero noes and everybody else yes. So what's that math? 15 yes. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Can I get some cake now?
Okay. I can't get everybody serve everybody cake and chair.
People
get some for Barbara.
Themselves.
She wanted some cake. And others can have cake. There's two cakes. There's tiramisu and chocolate.
Oh, you're gonna and sing
scones.
A song to these people.
No.
Okay. General manager not here. Treasurer's report. Here comes the Margie and Maria show.
Barbara
and Maria.
Point of procedure.
Yeah.
Is there no? Did the GM not send a written report?
No, he didn't. He said my understanding, he said, is things are about the same as they were last month. He didn't have anything to add.
Well, even though he's not present and he didn't send a report, I had a motion I wanted to offer, and this seems like the place for it.
Go for it.
Okay. My motion is that the LSB authorize and encourage the general manager to reimburse staff member Ann Garrison for the travel expenses she incurred in attending the Grassroots Radio Conference in Arkansas, that amount being $510.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Maria has some remarks. Tim?
Is this... Just a question. Is this the kind of management decision that the PNB as a policy, the LSB as a policy-making body should not be interfering with? My understanding of what an LSB is a policy-making board, not a individual management decision-making body. So I'd like some discussion of whether this is something the LSB should even be considering.
Okay. Frank wants to speak on that. Then Bill wants to speak on that. Ramses wants to speak on that.
I was going to say, Maria will probably have some of the best information on what the fund is for that allows for like training or, as far as I understood, it was at conferences too, but maybe you'll have clarification on that. But, you know, I've tried to use them once to travel, the funds to travel to the, we were going to do a video streaming presentation at the NFCB or something like that, and we asked to get the funds for that too, and were denied. So I would be looking forward to like clarification on like what is the exact funds for some sort of training and conferences, or is it just training, and how they work? Because it, as far as I know, they've been there. The funds have been there for use by people in the station. They never get used, but they're there. And so I would say if she was there as a representative for us, it'd be great to reimburse her. I know she spent some of her own money as well.
So 2 points of clarification here. One is that money is strictly for training, and it has to be pre-approved training. And the training has to be where it enhances your own job or enhances the jobs of the station as a whole. So in other words, if someone goes for training for interviewing, I don't know, whatever, they have to come back and share that information with the rest of the programmers or the, you know, producers. So number one, it's for training. Number two, it's for coming back and sharing it. And the third and most important thing is it has to be pre-approved. You don't go to something and then come back and ask for money.
Right.
So just ask the general manager first.
I'm going to rule that this is not a matter that is for the local station board, that it's a management position, and say that it's not relevant given the points of clarification that have been made and the practices of any organization board's relationship to the HR department and to management. Anthony.
I would note there seems to be a little confusion as to what I was moving. My wording was authorizes and encourages, not directs or mandates. And I understand he at a previous meeting when he was present and gave a report, he said I would authorize it if I would do that if the LSB allows me to. In other words, he feels that the way the budget was passed.
Well, it's a training fund, and what is being asked for is that a fund be used for something after the fact, where a board is taking something on a management position to use a fund, and I think that's not in order.
Nonetheless, I would ask that we hold a vote.
Okay.
And
whether or not it's in order.
And
okay.
I will say too that Ann Garrison is present, and she could talk about how the station benefited from her presence.
I'm sure the station benefited from your presence at that board.
Did they benefit? I asked Lindsay before I went.
And it wasn't seen as training, and so it wasn't seen as part of the. Wait a minute.
They are not even worth a response in this situation.
Okay. So the board is now taking a vote or having a conversation, and I'm taking Barbara is next, and I'll take a stack on whether or not this is something that the board should take a position on. Barbara,
no.
Margie, Ramses, Tim, Craig,
I've got to write this down. Well, when this was discussed in the last LSB meeting, when this item came up in the last LSB meeting, and Sharon was making a presentation requesting that Ann be reimbursed, the thing that the end of the discussion was that this kind of expense was not in the budget. It was training. You were looking at the training money. And then the comment was, so the next budget that is coming up, there's where we need to make the change. That's where we need to put a fund that is open for approved expenses that are not training but of this sort. It was not quite what Anthony said a few minutes ago. But I think what you're expressing or what you're requesting, Anthony, is a special consideration in this instance. That's what I hope we're voting on as an LSB.
And Margie.
Well, I was going to make a substitute. Could somebody read Anthony's motion again, please?
Anthony.
Yes, sure. The LSB authorizes and encourages the general manager to reimburse staff member Ann Garrison for her travel expenses incurred for attending the Grassroots Radio Conference in Arkansas in the amount of $510.
Okay. I'm in favor of the motion. I agree. I think that our authorizing and encouraging doesn't necessarily mean that he will do it, but I think it's a reasonable request. I do think that it is important that next year when you vote on the budget that you change that category from training to training and, you know, some other kind of reasonable expenses
right.
for
okay.
unpaid staff, something like that.
Okay. Tim.
I'm concerned with the discussion being something that's a very specific case-related situation, and I'm concerned with the LSB taking up situations where we are overruling or seeming to overrule a daily management decision. I do not think that is the role of a policy-making board. I think it sends a dangerous signal to management that they are going to be micromanaged from above. I think that if we want to make policies that we think that the general fund meant for training should also include wider, should be considered to make include wider professional development activities, that's the kind of policy-making directive that is appropriate for a local station board to give to management. But I strongly object to the idea that we should be taking up case-by-case expenditure decisions for individuals as a local station board.
Do you want to make that as a substitute motion?
I offer a substitute motion that I hope someone will help me write, because I'm not writing it, that the LSB urges management to consider that the training, the budget line item for training be expanded, the definition of the budget line item for training be expanded to include other professional development activities of staff.
Okay. So is there a second?
Second.
There's a second.
A pre-approved, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And I also just want to say something as someone who gets more email than I can respond to in my day job. When I don't respond to an email, it doesn't mean it's a personal slight. It means I've had more email than I can possibly respond to, and some things slide down the queue. No queue. No pun intended.
Whatever.
Thanks.
Okay.